All right, welcome back to another episode. Ooh, my mic's off. Well, not off. It's on, but it was in the wrong spot. Of Everyday Ecclesiology, I'm Daniel Greenhall.
And I'm his wife, Desiree Greenhall.
And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for believers to be faithful members of their local church.
Yep.
Phrase it a little bit differently today. This podcast has four segments. Who we are, just did that. What we're doing, what we're learning, and what we're reading.
Yep.
I'm a little under the weather, so if my voice sounds a little weird, it sounds like the way I phrased it to Desiree this morning. Like if you hear clipping in audio, like if you have like a bad recording or like if back in the 2000s you downloaded MP3s illegally and you know what those sounded like and they weren't very good, then it was like really, really bad audio quality. And it's what it sounds like in real life when I talk. I just sound like I'm clipping in real
really
life.
I haven't really noticed.
It's probably just more like in my head what I hear. So
more pressure.
Yep. But we're here, we're podcasting. It was a lot of fun. We were outside a lot this morning, so maybe it's allergies.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
I think you might have allergies.
Yeah, it's quite possible. I've been mowing a lot, been working outside a lot. Not for my job, but for here. And then doing some disc golf is outside a lot. And there's been a lot of pollen in the air. But what we've been doing, we've been celebrating our anniversary. That's been fun.
My favorite part so far, we went to Waterfront Market Grill in Ankeny.
I don't know if that's the name of it.
I think so.
I know it's Waterfront.
Yeah. It was really good. It was my first
Waterfront
time.
Waterfront Seafood Market.
Seafood Market. Okay.
I'm not sure what you said.
What was I going to say? It's my first time trying seafood.
Yeah.
Like at a place that actually specializes
in seafood.
Not like,
oh, we're having fish sticks for supper. Yeah. Not like that seafood.
So I was really pleased.
Yeah. We got some shrimp and it was grilled shrimp.
And a sushi roll.
Yeah. And you had something else
Ankeny
as well.
Sushi roll. Dessert, we got tiramisu.
No, there's something.
Sweet potato
you
fries.
You had clam chowder as well.
Clam chowder. Those were the sides.
And then sweet potato fries.
Yep.
Yeah. It was good.
Yep.
What else do we do? There's some other stuff we've done.
We went to Raymond Gardens.
Yeah,
Raymond
that was fun. Gardens. Yep. Walking around the garden, looking at all the plants. It was maybe a little early for...
Yeah. It was like good time to see the tulips.
Yeah, that's true. But a lot of other stuff like wasn't planted. It wasn't in full bloom. So I'm not sure when the best time is, but...
Later in summer.
It at least wasn't too busy, which was nice.
Yep.
Yep. And I posed next to a big gnome. Apparently it's the world's largest concrete gnome. I don't know.
And if you get specific enough, you can have the world's only whatever.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, it's been fun having no kids. They're being babysat for a while by somebody else. So having some time together. It was short, but it's been enjoyable. And we're taking some of that time to podcast, so you better enjoy this podcast.
Yeah.
But I have probably some other stuff, but we can save that, I suppose.
Yep.
Oh, we hung up some lights, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we have some outside lights, because last time we had our fire pit open for people to come over. It was kind of hard to see the area with the s'mores.
Yeah.
So we got some outside lights to make it nice, romantic feel.
They're like the type of lights you'd see with the bulbs on a string hung under like somebody's back porch.
Yeah.
Under like a pergola.
Yeah.
I think is the right word.
Only they're in our tree.
Yeah. They're nailed to a tree.
Daniel had to climb the tree.
Yeah. Because I don't have a ladder yet. But
once we get a ladder, we'll hang them a little nicer.
Probably,
right now
yeah.
they just look like we threw them up there.
But. Yeah. But there'll be enough to light like a table or something over there with the snacks on it. And yeah, it'll be nice. So that's been fun. It's been a little bit of anniversary stuff. And we've had snacks because we like snacks.
Yep.
But what we're learning, we're back in the catechism again. We're under the Doctrine of the Bible, question 7.
So only 3 more after this?
I think so.
Of the Bible. Yep.
Correct. And this time we're asking, what is the Bible all about?
Yeah, good question.
You want to answer it?
Sure. Well, Pastor Danny answers in his catechism. The Bible is about God. It reveals his plan of redeeming us and bringing all things under the authority of his Son. From start to finish, it declares salvation and judgment through Jesus Christ alone.
Yep. The main scripture passage we're going to be looking at is John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to read some supporting passages and then jump back into an explanation. So first is, there's a lot of Isaiah. A lot of Isaiah to start out with. Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another.
Number 2, Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
Yeah, we'll have to look at. I'm sure that'll be used within its context. I don't know the context around that because I wonder what's going on. Isaiah 40:5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That reminds me of the song. I don't remember what song that is, but that's apparently directly quoting Isaiah 40.
Oh.
It's a Ben Everson song.
Oh. I don't remember it.
And the Glory of the Lord. That's the name of it. Oh, there we go.
And the glory.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Number four, Hebrews 9:11-12. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption.
Yeah. Genesis 48:15-16. And he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth."
I think, based off the context, I just thought that was right.
I usually don't see bless the boys. I usually think bless the Lord. So that threw me off. But
I'll double check here. I double checked the first one because it repeats the same phrase a couple times, and that one was right.
Genesis 48, verse 16.
Okay.
The angel who has redeemed me from all evil.
Okay. And he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys. And in them, let my name be carried on."
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
That's just not what I expected to come. Okay. Weird. All right. Okay. And also, passage 5 is also Revelation 5:9 and 10.
I guess so. Yeah.
Unless we missed a super skip somewhere.
Nope, all right. I don't think so.
"And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'"
Luke 1:32-33. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
Hmm. So a never-ending kingdom. I hear a lot of kingdom language going on here.
Ooh.
Yeah. Romans 8, verses 20-22. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." And also Ephesians 1:22-23. "And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all."
2 Timothy 3:15. "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus."
Passage number 9, Romans 3:19. "And now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God."
1 John 4:14. "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world."
And passage number 11 is Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, which reads, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead."
There we go.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to look what is the Bible all about, and we're going to see that the Bible is about God. It reveals his plan of redeeming us and bringing all things under the authority of his Son. From start to finish, it declares salvation and judgment through Jesus Christ alone. That's probably why the Genesis and Revelation passage were the same footnote number.
Oh, from start to finish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my guess. We'll see. So the brief explanation. Most books have a theme, an organizing idea that all of the chapters then support in some way. Most stories have a storyline where, instead of a bunch of disconnected elements, everything written within somehow develops the story, bringing to it its completion at the end. And so it is with the Bible. But what is the Bible all about?
The Bible is about God. We've already seen that the Bible comes from God.
It's an autobiography. I mean, in some respects, it's by God, about God. That makes it an autobiography that's also a biography.
Yeah.
That's pretty nifty. It's the only autobiography that's also a biography. Unless all autobiographies are also a type of biography. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Sorry, go ahead. The Bible is about God.
It is his word to us, and we have also come to understand that the Bible is not just from God, but about God. That is, God's purpose in speaking to us is so that we might know him, know and understand him. As we think about what the Bible's all about, we must start and end here. The Bible's all about God. He is the main character. To use a word that we often find in other books, he's the hero. The Bible is certainly a big book, not only filled with little books, but also many different people, places, events, instructions, and a whole lot more. But in all of the big and little details that are included in the Bible, all of it is ultimately about God. This is putting it positively. Putting it negatively, the Bible is not primarily about you or me.
Yep.
Yes, it is for us and includes us, but we are not the main characters. God is. We are not the heroes of the story. God is. How do we know this, though? In a word, glory. Consistently from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible tells us that what God does, he does for his own sake. That is, for his glory.
Scripture reference number one.
Or what God does, he does to help us see and understand him in his splendor, and in doing so, to praise him for who he is and what he does. God has made all things. Why? For his glory.
Scripture reference two.
God has spoken to us in the Bible. Why? For his glory.
Scripture reference three.
Everything that's written in the Bible ultimately goes back to God in some way. Everything that's written in the Bible is intended by God to reveal something about him. And everything that's written in the Bible somehow helps us understand how to relate to him. But let's look at this more specifically.
So first of all, the Bible reveals God's plan. As we saw with our previous question, what the Bible records, it does so accurately. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
But what it records isn't simply random stuff that just happened in history. Although, as a side note, all of that would be also about God. Whether we know how to point it that way or not.
Oh, history is about God?
Yes.
I mean, hence the name, God's sovereign.
Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the one he's writing. No, God has a plan for all things. His plan for all things is best, and he is actively working through all things to bring about his plan. It is the Bible which records what God wants us to know about the unfolding of his plan. That was carefully worded. It is the Bible which records what God wants us to know about the unfolding of his plan. So God's plan, more specifically, is the theme of the Bible. But what is God's plan? What is he doing? We can summarize it this way. God is working to redeem us and bring all things under the authority of his Son. We already know that he created all things. We've seen that already in previous catechisms. Mm-hmm. But what is he doing with all things? What is his plan for all things? First, the Bible, one way or another, reveals his plan of redeeming us. What does this mean? Good question. The basic idea of redemption means to set something free. Free from a difficult circumstance to a better one, and oftentimes at a significant cost. As it relates to God's plan, the Bible uses redemption to refer to us being set free from sin and its consequences.
Scripture reference 4.
Yeah. From Genesis to Revelation, there we go, we learn from the Bible that all of us need some sort of redemption, and how God intends to bring this sort of redemption to pass.
Scripture reference 5.
There
Sorry.
You go. But second, and very much interconnected with the redemption, the Bible also reveals God's plan to bring all things under Jesus' authority. So what does this mean? Well, as God redeems us, how does he do so? As God redeems us, what is his goal for our redemption? The answer to both of these questions is Jesus Christ, God's Son. The phrase, bring all things under Jesus' authority, is true, but it might be a bit tricky to understand. It may help us to use the concept that the Bible uses to describe what this means, kingdom. So as it relates to God's plan, he is working, in all things, across all history, to bring about his kingdom, which will have ultimate authority over all the earth, and which will have as its king none other than Jesus Christ, his Son. From Genesis to Revelation, that was scripture reference 6.
Yeah.
From Genesis to Revelation, we learn from the Bible that all things are currently disordered against God's authority because of sin, but also how he will bring all things into their proper order under and through Jesus Christ.
Reference 7.
Yeah. So there's more kingdom language again. And we see that Christ will reign, that kingdom will also not have an end. But that's not just... I don't know. I'm not going to go too far down that rabbit hole yet.
Not until you know more about it?
Well, not until I can express it very well.
Okay. Yeah. Next paragraph.
Yep.
The Bible declares salvation and judgment.
Yeah, so we saw that one. The Bible reveals God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're on, the Bible declares salvation and judgment.
So the Bible is about God. And more specifically, the Bible is about God's plan of redemption and kingdom. But let's make this even clearer still. The Bible is about salvation and judgment through Jesus Christ alone. By putting it this way, we are saying that all of the Bible is about salvation and judgment, and we are saying that every book of the Bible contributes in some way to in telling us about salvation and judgment. This is not to say that every book says everything about salvation and judgment, or that every book is equally clear about salvation and judgment, or even that every book emphasizes salvation and judgment equally.
Yeah.
This is to say, however, that all 66 books are united and work together to tell a unified message. That's what I mean by from start to finish. To put this another way, what does Genesis have to do with Matthew, for example? Or why were Jonah and Ephesians written? All 66 books of the Bible declare together, in different ways at different times, God's plan of salvation and judgment through Jesus Christ alone. Think about it. It is the Bible which wisely declares the only way of salvation.
Scripture reference number 8.
It is the Bible which faithfully declares God's just judgment on all sinners.
Number 9.
It is the Bible which beautifully declares Jesus Christ as the only sufficient Savior.
Number 10.
And it is the Bible which soberly declares him as God's righteous judge over all the earth.
Scripture reference 11.
We'll learn more about sin, judgment, Christ, and salvation later, but we know this for now. This is what the Bible declares, and it declares it with a united voice for our good and God's glory.
You can take it.
This is what the Bible teaches about the Bible.
Yeah. That's good to see. I was right about having Genesis and Revelation because I was talking beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why Romans and Ephesians were in there together. It was passage number 7. Oh, he'll bring all things under their proper order, under and through Jesus Christ. That makes sense.
So is it people that get confused about how can God be a loving God, but also still like a just, we would say just God by getting rid of sinners and by all the battles and things that went on to help the Israelites have their own place, you know, like whole peoples were wiped out. Do people misunderstand that more often because they don't try to find a whole understanding of the whole Bible as a whole? They're just like, oh, I'm reading in this book of the Bible and all I see is that God's killing a bunch of people.
I think there could be a plethora of reasons, first, why people misunderstand how God can be loving and just. But I think much of that understanding probably comes from not wanting to let the Bible define love.
Oh,
and
yeah,
only saying,
true.
Well, this is what I think love is, and that doesn't go with justice. And they're probably right that their definition of love does not go with justice.
Yeah.
But I think it could be much more complicated than that. That's just what I see most often is people like, well, but that's not loving. And you're like, but that's not how God defines love. It actually is loving. You just don't understand what actual love is, what actually caring for another person is, even. For example, disciplining children, correcting when they do something wrong. Some people would say, well, that's not loving. I'm like, no, this is actually how I show that I care for this person, is saying, if I didn't care about you, I'd let you do whatever you want. I said that to Sophia a lot of times. Sophia, if I hated you, I would let you do whatever you wanted. That's how I would express that I hated you. I would just let you go your own way and fall into destruction. But I don't. I do care about you. I do actually love you. And a part of that means, hey, I direct you, in the, push you in the right direction, not like literally shove. I mean, if there's a car coming, then yes. But it's typically not like a physical shove. It's just, hey, this is what's right. I need to teach you what's right. I need to discipline you when there's something wrong. Now, what that discipline looks like is many and varied ways, but we're not actually, I think a lot of people don't start with saying, what does God say that it looks like to love my neighbor?
Oh, okay.
And they look at passages like, well, the Good Samaritan paid money and cared for him and took him a place. And yes, that is a good, viable, wonderful expression of love, but that's not the only way to express love. That's not the answer in every situation.
Right.
Sometimes it means killing the bad guy before he kills your family, like shooting him in the head. I mean, typically we don't go that far.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Typically that could also be loving because I need to protect these people. I care about them and this person's going to kill them if I do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typically we're not that extreme in our country with the people that are typically listening to this podcast, but that has been a thing throughout history and could continue to be a thing throughout history, probably will, where the expression, how we express love will look a lot of different ways in a lot of different situations. A lot of people typically, myself included, I don't have a perfect biblical definition of love, but we But I don't say, hey, this is my definition of love. It must be right. And God doesn't fit into that box, so he must be wrong. Yeah. I start with, I have a definition of love. And if I come to a scripture passage that doesn't seem to agree that, I need to reevaluate what I believe love is, what God says love is.
Yeah.
Not, oh, well, how can this be working with God loving? Or, oh, okay, what am I misunderstanding here? Given a definition of something like love.
Oh, sorry to get us off track.
No, that's fine. Hopefully that made a little bit of sense.
Mm. Yep.
Yes?
Yeah, okay. It did.
Yeah, that's what we're learning. Clearly still learning it. That one seemed like a lot of things going on. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're talking about what the whole Bible is about.
That's true. That's a valid point. That makes sense why it seemed like it was a bigger one.
I mean, it's about God, but yep. He explained it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. So what are we reading? That's the last thing, right?
Yep. I don't think I've really read much. It's just been a busy week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been trying to read my devotions every morning. And,
yeah.
But outside of that, it's just been kind of busy.
Yeah. It has been.
I don't think you've read anything either.
No, I don't think so. We've had a lot of stuff going on for work and some wedding prep and parties, Star Wars party that I had with some guys from church. Yeah. And yeah, that's about it. All right. Well, that was a short what we're reading.
Yeah. This will be like a 15-minute podcast.
21 minutes.
21.
Yeah, it's on the shorter side. You guys got some good hearty ones a little while ago. Yeah. I think that's going to do it for us then. Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed listening. I'm glad we could get down here to podcast even on our anniversary celebration and we could stay in the habit. It was nice. We didn't have to worry about kids, so we really didn't have an excuse to not. We'll wrap it up here. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed, learned as well. And until next time, start serving or keep serving within your local church. Bye.
Bye.